The Torah tells us that we have 7 days of Pesach, and in those 7 days we are commanded not to have chametz in our home. We have a special commandment to eat matzah. Now the simple reading of the psukim is that there is a commandment to eat matzah for 7 days. But being that the Torah in one place says to eat it for 7 days and in another place for 1 day, we ultimately end up with the halachic conclusion that we are only commanded to eat matzah one time, Pesach by night, and in Chutzlaretz where we're unsure which is the first night, so the first two nights. And that matzah which we are commanded to eat Pesach by night is called Matzat Mitzvah. Now the Torah, when it describes the making of the matzah, says an unusual statement. The Torah says, Ushmaltem et hamatzot, watch the matzahs. Now that's unusual. Every mitzvah we have to watch. The Torah says, don't kill. So we have to watch ourselves when we're handling a gun, not to let it misfire. The Torah tells us, don't steal. So we have to watch ourselves when we're passing the neighbor's object, not to harm it. The Torah tells us, we have 613 commandments, and we have to watch all of them. Why does the Torah add a commandment, watch the matzahs? So from here we derive that they need extra watching. We don't give it the ordinary care that we would anything else, and much of what we're going to discuss tonight revolves around that extra watching. Meaning when it comes to any other mitzvah, Torah says that you're not allowed to shave with a razor. So we don't say don't use a shaver. We say if the shaver is good, if the shaver doesn't act like a razor, and go see our laws of shaving class and you'll see how you find out about a shaver, whether it's kosher or not. You could use a shaver. Torah tells us we're not allowed to eat pig. So we don't eat pig. We don't say, well, you don't eat any other animal that walks on all fours. Torah tells us we have to separate meat and dairy. So we say, okay, we don't put them on the same table. But we don't say you have to watch that they don't go in the same fridge. You have to watch that they're not in the same kitchen. But tonight we're going to see that when it comes to matzah, there's watchings that go far beyond that. If everyone got one, I'd appreciate getting the candies back. Okay, so this extra watching pertains to the stringencies that we apply that stem from this biblical commandment, and also pertains to a special concept of matzot mitzvah that we have to do for the sake of the mitzvah. We're not just watching matzahs. Now, what is matzah? So matzah is basically taking one of the five grains, chitas, orach, kusemet, shibol, shuav, shifon, wheat, barley, spelt, oat, rye, one of those five grains. We turn it into flour, we add water, and then it ferments. If it ferments for a period of time, if it gets to ferment, then it becomes chametz. If it does not ferment, if we manage to bake it before it ferments, that's matzah. Now for more technical details. First of all, ideologically, we see here something, that only something that can become bad can become good. Meaning rice, if you make rice flour and you make it into dough and you make it into bread, the dough will seem like it's rising, it will seem like it's fermenting, like it's becoming chametz, but we have on tradition that that's not called chametz. The rice flour, if it's made into flour, rice is ground into flour, and then you add water, even though it seems to be performing the same rising process, but our sages taught us that that does not become chametz, and therefore one cannot make matzah of it. Ideally, we make matzah of wheat, of specifically wheat flour, but really we could make it of any of the five grains. In order for something to become chametz, it must have flour and water. If we add salt, for example, flour, water, and salt, then the fermenting process goes even quicker. So we just use flour and water in our matzah. We take grain and grind it. Now, the fermenting process can happen even when it's in kernel form. It doesn't have to be flour. And therefore, we take great care even in cutting the kernels, cutting the wheat from the ground. We usually cut the stalks when they are still green. We don't wait for them to become yellow, because when the wheat becomes yellow, when it becomes dry, so there's an opinion that says that if water will fall on it, then it can start fermenting even though it's attached to the ground. And here you see a picture of a wheat field where it's still green, and this is how it's harvested. This is when it's yellow. And here you see the mashgiach. When you buy flowers with a hechsher, so it says shmura matzah, matzah that's been watched, either mishat chinas, from the time it was ground into flour, or mishat tzira, from the time it was cut. And that's greatest level of stringency. Ideally, one should try, at least for Pesach by night, to have matzah that was shmura watch from the time it was cut, harvested from the ground. So here you see the rabbi is checking that it hasn't yet become yellow, and he's checking that it's not wet before they start the harvest.
What is this? Is that a minhag or a shmura matzah,
when it comes to the matzah of Pesach night, the matzah of what's called matzah mitzvah, so regarding that, that's the chatila, ideally, that's the preferable way of doing it. The rest of Pesach, so some have the custom to eat shmura matzah from the time it was cut. The more common custom is to eat shmura matzah mishat chinah from the time it was ground. But the minimum is that it was really watched from the time it became a matzah. You don't really need that. That's a stringency that has become accustomed. Yeah?
When did they start doing this test and that they're watching it in the field and then turning, before it turns yellow?
This that we watch the matzahs goes back.
No, it's in the field. They're watching it and they make sure that.
It's not that we stand there and watch the wheat grow. This that we check it. So before the harvest, whatever wheat is going to be used for matzah is special wheat. It's wheat that was watched. They don't just go buy wheat from a granary. If it's going to be shmura, then they know they've invested in watching it from the time it was harvested. Before they harvest it, the rabbi goes in and checks that it's still green, and he checks that it's not wet. Yeah.
So what's the first of all? So what stages is the concern that the wheat might get wet when it's green or when it's green?
Well, once it's harvested, we don't want it to get wet.
Once it's removed from the field.
Correct. But if it were still attached to the field and would become all dry, so then it could start the fermenting process, could become ferment if it would become wet. And that's why we harvest it before it becomes all yellow, while it's still green. Yeah. When we get the kernels of wheat, so we check them, because many kernels have worms in them. Today they have special machines that check them. You can see a picture of this machine. Tonight, unfortunately, we will not be able to go to a plant. There is a plant in Neh Sharon, those of you who want to go to see how they make it into flour, that we won't be able to do tonight. Tonight we're going to see the matzah baking later tonight. Those of you who haven't signed up, see. Yeah, you can bake matzahs 24-7. Not 7, but 24-6, yeah. Now, when it comes to grinding, what?
The other four grains also, they have natural fermentation when they get wet?
Yeah. When we grind the matzah, so that's really the first stage, tchina, where everyone agrees we have to have it shmura, it has to be watched for the sake of the mitzvah, if we're going to use Pesach by night. Now, the question is, do we also have to have proper intent? And this brings us to a general question, can machines have intent? So obviously machines do not have intent, but is it enough when I push the button that I have intent, I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzvah? In Jerusalem, the custom is to eat machine matzah, even on Pesach by night, even for the biblical commandment. Rav Salant ruled, and that's how many, many Jews who have the custom of Jerusalem do, that the machine matzah is ideal. That's the preferable matzah, because it's done most quickly, and he ruled that it can be done for the sake of matzah, and that's the best. So you go to many rabbis' homes, and you'll only find machine matzah. Rav Lisman, I think, only eats machine matzah. I'm Pesach. That's what he eats Pesach by night. You come to my house, I'm an American Jew, I made Aliyah, I don't have the Jerusalem customs, I do what my father did, what my grandfather did, which was eat him matzah. But you guys could adopt whichever custom you want. Yeah, 1 second, yeah.
Machine
means the whole process, yes. Now, yeah.
There are people still hand
grinding. Yeah, so here you see a person grinding by hand. There are advantages to grinding by hand. One is that the wheat does not come out as hot. When you grind with animals, a mill or a machine, so then the flour comes out very hot, and one should not use that flour the day it was ground. Because one of the things that makes the fermentation process go quicker is heat. If the flour and water are hot, either the flour or the water or the dough is hot, so then it ferments much quicker, which is logical. You guys, I don't know if you've seen your mother's bake challah, but when you want dough to rise, one of the things you could do is put it in a warm oven. Heat makes it rise. So the flour that's ground by hand is called rashi, rechaim shel yad. If you come to a store and ask you, do you want rashi's matzahs, they don't mean matzahs that are 1,000 years old. They don't mean matzahs according to the stringency of Rashi. They mean Rechaim Shel Yad. No, even this year, I came to the store, to a place to buy Rechaim Reishchet Yud Yud Mem. I came there and the guy asked me, you want Rashi Matzahs? So I'm starting to think, which sita does Rashi have when it comes to Matzahs? It took me a second to remember that last year I learned that Rashi here in Israel stands for Rechaim Shel Yad. So that's hand ground, which is an added stringency and adds to the price about 15%. Because it's ground by hand. And matzahs today, hand matzahs, go about $37-$40 per kilo. Rechaim Shel Yad, I paid for, I think, $37 per kilo. Which is a lot. That's, I mean, no, now when we grind the matzahs, and you'll see this in the bakery, we say all the time, the same matzahs mitzvah. We are doing this for the sake of matzahs which will be used for a mitzvah. And that goes back to the commandment that Torah tells us to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. Ideally, we're careful not to place the sacks of flour one on top of the other. If you stack the sacks, then they get hot from their own weight. So we stand them. We don't stack them one on top of the other. And we also stack them, preferably raised from the ground, in case some water spills, you don't have a problem with hummus there. So we take care from the time we have the kernels to be careful that we don't have hummus. We sift the matzah, the flour, because flour can get wormy. When it comes to making the dough, so we preferably do not make dough that is going to be too large, because once you add the flour to the water, you have potential hummus. It can become hummus. So long as you're kneading it, in the time of the Gemara, in the time of the Mishnah, so they said, so long as it's being kneaded, it won't become hummus. You can knead it all day long, and it won't be hummus. Today we take care that once it becomes dough, 18 minutes don't pass. We say after 18 minutes it's hummus. We take care that 18 minutes won't pass. But in truth, so long as you're working the dough and it doesn't get too hot, the dough will remain not hummus. Now, once we put the flour to the water, or the water to the flour, more accurately, then we want that it should constantly be kneaded. It should be in process. It should be worked. And so preferably we don't make a larger amount of dough than the amount that's used for taking off challah, which is either a kilo 200 gram or a kilo 250 gram. That's the size of dough that we make. The dough you'll see tonight is about the size of three challahs that you buy. That's about the volume of a dough, of a large chunk of dough, which they make in a huge bowl, you'll see tonight, and then they partition it, so like 10, 15 people. Each one needs a small piece, which becomes a matzah. Yeah?
When they make matzah, it's not fermented, so that it's still, say, a bracha, and I feed
yeah, because we make a bracha when we take off challah. Tonight, I hope you guys will get to take off challah and make the blessing, because matzah is also a form of bread. Matzah is called bread, halachically. So we make that size of dough. Now some are of the opinion today that you have a lot of people working it and you have a much hotter and bigger oven. I don't know if hotter, but you have a bigger oven, so you could make a larger size dough, but preferably we keep it to that size. Now if you think about it, if you pour water and flour, so water is going to spritz and you're going to have hummus very easily because you have flour all around. So in order to ensure that doesn't happen, we have a guy who he controls the flour in one room. In another room, we have a guy who controls the water. And in the middle, we have a guy who sits in the middle room. When he's ready, when they tell him we're ready for the next batch, so he gets a bowl, and he knocks on the guy who has the flour's door, and he's already had sifted flour, he's measured it to the right size. He opens his window, pours in the flour into the bowl, and closes his window. Then he knocks on the door of the guy who has the water. He has water measured to the right amount. He opens his window, pours in the water, says, L'shem matzos mitzah, I'm doing it for the sake of the mitzah of matzah, pours in the water, and then the guy says, L'shem matzos mitzah, and starts making it into dough. This way we don't have a second where the flour is exposed to the water, except for in that bowl, to ensure that we don't have hummus. You'll see this. You'll see the room tonight, where you have the guy in the middle, and the two windows, and the two other rooms where they stick the stuff in. Here you see a picture of the windows, the guy is taking out the flour, and he's pouring it into the basin. Now every tool, every instrument that's used in making the matzahs, we have to be careful that there won't be a crack or a crevice in that tool. Because, let's say this bowl that we're making the dough in. If there's a crevice, if there's any crack in that bowl, so then some dough is going to get stuck in that crack. When we take out the dough, that little piece of dough in the crack remains and becomes hummus after 18 minutes. After it becomes chametz, you start making another piece of dough, and it'll get into that dough. So now, instead of having matzah dough, you have matzah dough with, mixed with chametz. Chametz is forbidden to be eaten. When we check our homes for chametz, we're checking for chametz of a sizable amount. When you do bdikas chametz the evening before Pesach, you're checking that there shouldn't be chametz that you might come to eat. You're not looking for crumbs inside the crevices of your of the bottom of the stool that you sit on. That's not what you're looking for. You're looking for chametz that's a sizable amount they might eat. But you're not allowed to eat even a crumb of chametz on Pesach. And therefore, when it comes to what we eat, you have to be more careful. It's not enough to say, I'm not looking for a crumb. And that's why we don't use knives with serrated edges that were used for chametz on Pesach. Because we say you can never clean out those serrated edges enough. And there, even a crumb is forbidden. There we are concerned with crumbs. Yeah, Yeshua.
But there should be one before Pesach.
Very good question. So let's discuss. And maybe chametz before Pesach will be batel. Is it chazel v'ni'u? How does that work? Good question. Yeah.
I remember I'm opening up magazines and flipping through them to try and get rid of any possible comments sitting behind the couch or within.
That we'll discuss in a different class. Not here. Yeah.
But it's just like, imagine
they sell
like packages of like stones, candle, and they feather. And
we'll get to that in our class in preparation for Chametz. Tonight I want us to focus just on this. I just mentioned that to clarify that here, in contradistinction with the laws of checking for chametz, here we are concerned about crumbs because we want to ensure that the matzah is matzah and has no chametz in it. What we ingest, the food we eat, may not even have a crumb of chametz. Yeah, Micha. No, I'm telling you, they started making handmade matzah on Hanukkah. When you go to the store and buy matzah a week before Pesach, the matzah you're buying is usually made on Hanukkah. If you go now, you could get freshly baked matzah. It's more fresh than what you'll buy the eve of Pesach.
Yeah,
Yosef. Now, that's the secret. They don't tell you that, but that's the truth.
So that's really
stale
matzah.
Right.
I'm
telling you a secret. So I went and bought fresh baked matzah last week. I chose my own matzah.
Last week?
You are coming to eat in my house, I hope, Pesach by night. So we're going to have a list. I've got you down. So then you get fresh matzah. It's only from Adar, the end of Shvat. Right, 100%, only 2 months old. Right.
Yeah,
I was going to say.
The Kavanah, you said the every time they pour anyway. So is there like with the secret Torah is that the star the Sofer Sam is the has Kavanah. That if you put Kavanah when he's writing every letter different Kavanah that the value for example.
Simple Kavanah, we're doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Remind me at the end of class, if we have 3 minutes I'll discuss Kavanah. Yeah.
Let's say I'm a farmer and I have 40 cows and I milk them every day.
Yeah.
What happens about feeding them?
Good question. In our class on the laws of man. Good question. Yeah,
you're
sure. No, not tonight. Coming back to guys, I want to cover to finish it so that when we go tonight we know what we're looking at. So all the utensils that we're going to see used in the process of making the matzah have to be smooth without a crevice, without a crack. Now this includes the bowl that we're going to make the dough in. After they have a table, we're skipping forward for a second, on which they knead the dough, meaning first they make it into a chunk of dough, then it needs to be kneaded more. And this table is about the size of a table, and it has attached to its end a big pole, a metal pole, that's attached to a hinge, and they bang down with that pole around the matzah. Here you can see this guy banging with the pole on the dough. He has a piece of dough, this is what you'll see tonight. And they use that piece of metal banging down, that's how they knead the dough. You'll see it tonight. They dance around with it. It's on a hinge that moves. So they dance on it, but it's very hard work. Now, the water that we use for making the matzah has to be Maim Shelanu, which doesn't mean our water. Maim Shelanu comes from the word Lan, sleep. Waters that sort of sleep have slept out of the ground. We draw the water, we take the water out of the ground before nightfall, And that is to ensure that it doesn't get hot, because the water in the ground can sometimes be very hot. So we draw the water out of the ground, and it has to spend the nighttime period out of the ground in some kind of vessels in the cool, so that the water will be cool. Again, with the same intent, that if we have cool water and cool flour, as we discussed earlier, then the fermenting process will be slower. So we have to use water that has rested out of the ground. Tonight, hopefully, I'll show you they have big vats of water that they maintain the water in, that will be used. Now, you could draw water for a period of 5 days or 10 days, so long as it's maintained in vessels in a cool place. Again, before we draw the water or open the faucet and pour the water out of the faucet, we say l'shem asot mitzvah. I'm preparing this water for the sake of the mitzvah of making matzah.
What's the definition of
mine that slept out of the ground? Lina is to sleep. Preferably, we draw the water with the Jew, because this is the beginning of the process of the mitzvah. Just 1 second. When we take the water out of the vats, out of the vessels it's in, we usually filter it. That's why sometimes you'll see a piece of cloth over the faucet that the water is coming out of to filter the water. Now, when we take the water, we take approximately 235 grams of water for half a kilo, for 500 grams of flour, or approximately 500 grams, half a kilo of water for a kilo of flour. That's the ratio. More or less, it depends, because flour in different areas has a different level of dryness. As funny as that sounds, different flour requires different types of water. And here you see the guy sitting by the window with his water, waiting for the guy to knock. He pours it into the basin. Here you see they measure the water. You have a filter on the water basin. Here's a larger water basin with a filter. And after they weigh the water, this guy pours it in. So the guy who's sitting in the middle, you'll always see a big drop sitting in the middle. That's the guy that has to actually knead the flour. And you see he opens his window, he pours it in. Yeah. Sorry. Yes, now the flour, the water, and the place where we knead the dough should be in a place where there's no sunlight, because again, we don't want it to get hot from the sunlight. If it sits in the sun, then it's all going to get hot. So everything has to be in a shaded place. We also take care not to knead the dough next to the oven, because once the dough comes near the oven, then we don't have 18 minutes anymore. Now then it starts rising much quicker. And therefore the dough, we take care from the second it's ready to be made matzah, it's been, they put holes in it, matzah is flat, they put holes in it, they made it flat, it should go straight into the oven. And that we'll discuss in a minute how they do that. Yeah?
Is there any halacha that a boy can actually raise matzah in this, or a Jew?
Preferably a Jew should do it, because we have to do it for the sake of the mitzvah. I said preferably, because I don't want to go into all the details what we would do if there were a non-Jew, which parts of the process a non-Jew could do if there's a Jew standing over him who says this is for the sake of the mitzvah. I don't want to go into that. That's not so relevant to us tonight.
Why is it all
halacha? You're saying it is. So wherever a person is going to go, if a person wants to volunteer and work in a place and he hasn't yet finished his gear process, so he has to speak to the rabbi who's in charge of the place. But if the guys want to volunteer, that's the place. People are thinking, if the guys process, they want to do it for the sake of the mitzvah, they have to speak to the mashgiach of that place to see what their wow. Oh, chazal, we have a chassan here tonight. We try to ensure that there will not be a minute. That's why you'll see some places. That's why you'll see even when they're standing with the flat matzah dough ready to go into the oven. Ideally, it shouldn't even be in that position. That's not the ideal way of doing it. Now we'll quickly get an overview before we continue of how matzah is made. So we said we get wheat that has been harvested when it's still green. We grind it into flour. A day later, we can take that flour and use it for matzah. We take water that has been drawn a day earlier and spent the nighttime period out of the water so that it's cool. And that water we take about 500 grams of water to a kilo of flour, and we mix them. When we mix them, we have a batter. That batter is kneaded very well, and after it is kneaded, it's divided between, let's say, 10, 15 people, and each one kneads his, rolls his piece of dough. And the way they do it nowadays in many bakeries is that you have an assembly line, meaning you'll see a table like this of stainless steel, and you'll see five guys standing at the side of the table. And each one has his rolling pin. And each one has a different size rolling pin. Now these people have been doing this in the bakery we're going to tonight for maybe 20 years. They're experts at rolling matzah dough. And each one has his rolling pin. When I was there last week, so I saw one guy, as he's leaving the bakery, sticking his rolling pin into his pants and putting his coat over it. So I went to the head of the bakery and I said, I think someone's trying to steal a rolling pin from your bakery. So he said, no, these guys are such experts that each one has his rolling pin. You know, like pool players, each one has his stick. So these guys, each one has his rolling pin. This is their baby. They've been taking care of it. So he watches it. He takes care of that pin. Now, when they roll the matzahs, it's like an assembly line. So the first guy rolls it one until it's one size, and then the next guy more, and then the next guy more, until it hits the last guy who passes it out the window to the next room, because we don't want it in the same room where the oven is going to be. In the oven, it seems like it's pretty easy. You're going to see these guys, they're pros. But it's really difficult. You have to roll out the... he gets a stick with two pastries. This is a mehadrin place. Some places get a stick with like 8 matzahs on them, but ideally it's nicer when you do it 2 at a time. Then the matzahs probably won't touch one another, which is a problem we'll discuss in a minute. He rolls it out onto the floor of the oven, which is very, very hot. Here in Israel, we heat it with olive wood, which makes a very dry heat, very, very good heat, different than the heat of the United States. They have different wood that they use. We roll out the matzah on the floor of the oven, and after about 5-7 seconds, we take it out. He scoops it out with a little shovel. Tonight, I don't think we'll be able to purchase matzahs. Here you see how they have one piece of dough that's been cut up into different pieces, and you see the different people. You see the beginning of the assembly line. The people are starting to roll out the matzah. Here you see the longer assembly line, where each one has a flat piece of matzah, and they're rolling it, as we do today, with stainless steel rolling pins. When I was a kid, way back when, they didn't have stainless steel rolling pins. I still remember we used to sit with sandpaper to make sure there was no dough or flour left on the rolling pin. It was a wooden rolling pin. That's what we used to use. Okay. We make the matzah very, very thin. Far than having a custom make it thicker. Up to the tip, up to hands width, we say is good. Now, what's the idea of making it thin? The idea is that it should bake, that everything should bake. And this is, we're going to get to in 1 second, how you choose a matzah. Now, most of you, this year at least, will buy matzah in a closed box. But the ideal way of doing it is to go to the bakery and choose your own matzahs and oversee the making of the matzahs. The big rabbis all rent out the matzah bakery for a day and take their chevra, their group of people, and bake their matzahs. From now already, any morning you try to go to a matzah bakery, what you're seeing and what we will see tonight is not the bakery at work. It's the rabbi and his crew. Now sometimes the rabbi and his crew just overlook the experts doing it. But there's a big inyan, and this goes back to the whole point of Pesach, which is the source of our belief, that the matzahs, which are one of the basic mitzvahs of the night, will be done by ourselves. The ideal way of making matzah, by the way, is the afternoon before Pesach. You want to know if someone has a lot of money or he's a very, very big rabbi, I don't know which one, depending on the person, those are the people who get the matzah bakeries the afternoon before Pesach. Everyone wants that. The afternoon after, you're not allowed to have chametz anymore. That's the ideal time. According to some opinions, it's the only time when you can make matzahs. You can't, I once called a guy and said, I hear you can't have this afternoon. I was wondering if I could have matzahs this afternoon. I was wondering if I could have some. So he said, we'll see. If I have extras, I'll give you. How much do you want? So I said, 1 kilo, 2 kilos. So he laughed and he said, goodbye. He said, if I can get you one matzah, that's a lot. it's not easy. But most people don't do this. It's impossible. How many matzahs can you bake the afternoon before Pesach? Now, when we make the matzahs, in order so that it doesn't become chametz, we make holes in the matzahs. And this is what you see, what's called in Yiddish, redlach, the hole makers. It's these round things that they roll over the matzahs, and they make holes with it. Again, what you'll see tonight are experts at work, I hope. I don't know who's working tonight, if it's the rabbi who hired out the place or the experts working, and it will all look easy. Everything here will look easy. And if I could only do it with you guys once, you'll see it's not as easy as it looks. Like, you could try rolling these things and the dough will stick to it. You have to know how to roll it, how much weight to put on it. These guys do it in seconds. They roll these things over the matzahs, making holes throughout the matzahs, and they just give it on. Yeah?
How profitable is it to be once a year on the season of Pesach? Why do you think it works for you guys?
I don't know. I don't know how profitable it is, but most people don't do things if they aren't profitable.
Okay.
When the person gets the matzahs, the dough, on the stick, ready to go into the oven, he may not wait with it. Because when he's waiting in a room that's hot, and then it can become chametz much quicker. Here you see a picture of what you'll see outside the bakery tonight, the olive wood that's waiting to be burnt. And here you see the people on the sticks. Now, nowadays, when we take it on the sticks, in order to prevent the sticks from being hot, and in order to ensure that the sticks are clean, so the final stick, which will put it in the oven, which will take the matzah and put it in the oven, is wrapped with clean paper. This is just easier than cleaning the sticks, being that the sticks are wood, so today everyone's lazy. In my day, we used to sandpaper those sticks, and then the mashgiach would check it. Between each round of baking matzah, everyone that's involved must clean their hands and make sure that there's no dough stuck under their nails. That's why you'll see in the place we're going to tonight, they have nail clippers in the sink. Everyone has to clean their nails. They have brushes to clean their nails and nail clippers. And the mashgiach has to check everyone's hands to make sure they are clean. And he also checks their rolling pin. Here you see a picture of the furnace. The furnace has fire at a certain temperature. I don't know what temperature they use nowadays. And now we're going to the last part, which is probably the most important part, the most relevant part. How you choose which is a good matzah after it comes out of the oven. You see a picture, they stick it in as a dough, and then he takes it out, and you'll see it in your chin tonight.
What kind of oven is it, Rob? Is it a wood-burning oven?
A wood-burning oven, yeah. The floor, I think, is made of cement, if I'm not mistaken. What do we need to ensure when the matzah comes out of the oven? We have to make sure it's really baked. Now, if the oven is too hot, then the outside of the matzah may bake and the inside may not. If you make the matzah too thick, more than hands with thick, then we say the inside isn't going to bake properly before it becomes chametz. So another way in which the matzah can come out not fully baked is if you take it out too early. When I went to see the matzahs being baked, I received matzahs where I could bend it. Ma'am Ashkenazi. Why didn't have soft matzahs? They bake them so they'd be soft. Ashkenazim, the matzah is supposed to be hard. If it's soft, it's not baked well. So one of the things you want to check is that it's not soft. But you can't, in the Shulchan Aruch says that if you pull it and you see strings, then you know it's not baked well. Less than that is according to some opinions, okay. We want to make sure the matzah isn't folded. If there's a fold in the matzah, like you see over here, a little fold where it folds over itself, inside that fold, the dough isn't baked well. Before Pesach you may break it off so long as you're baking it before Pesach together with a kedeach izal with 2 centimeters, 2.5 centimeters, 2 different opinions. You have to break off around it as well. Here you see a picture of something that's more common, but tonight you will probably not see because we're going to a very professional bakery. When I was there, this didn't happen even once. The guy at the oven was a pro. In other bakeries I saw 1 out of 10, 1 out of 15 come out like this folded. This guy didn't have even one. Another thing that can happen is that the matzah will rise in the middle. If you have a rise in the middle of the thickness of a thumb, of the etzba, that's a problem. Then that matzah is forbidden. Now this is more common than you think, that you have one little hump. Because when the matzahs heat up, as you might be able to see in this picture, the first thing that happens is they rise.
The difference is rising and
just being uneven, right? Yes. We're not talking about uneven. Right. Yeah.
This matzah, unfortunately, has risen too much. It's not kosher to Pesach, but generally it's kosher.
Right.
Except for Pesach,
you can eat it. Sure. There's one more thing, which is a stringency that, yeah. So as far as kashrut, no, as far as when it was watched and for what sake, for the sake of the seder, we need matzah that was watched for the sake of the mitzvah, according to some opinions from the time of harvest, according to some opinions from the time it was ground into flour, and worse comes to worse, from the time it was made into dough. And the rest of Pesach, you just need matzah that was watched that it's matzah. Right. One thing that you have to know that most people don't know, and I myself did not know, and not only didn't I know this, but if there's anyone still left here who was here by my seder last year, they know I didn't know this, is that when you buy a matzah with a hechsher, all the hechsher is saying is, it was watched from the time it was harvested. The kernels were checked for worms. It was made for the sake of mitzvah. The flour was kept clean and the flour was sifted. The flour was mixed with the water and made into matzah dough. The dough was kneaded properly with proper utensils. It was put into the oven correctly. That what the hechsher does not include is that the matzah is a kosher matzah. Meaning the one thing they do not check is they do not stand outside the oven door and check when the matzahs come out that they were baked properly. And I didn't know this. So last year at the Seder, I start giving out matzahs. We make hamotzi. We're all standing there quiet. We can't talk. We're in the process of making the blessings on the matzahs and I have to start giving out the matzahs. I take a matzah out of the box and it's soft. It's chametz. It's chametz. Say, okay. I put that one away. Take the next one out of the box and it's swollen the way a matzah is not allowed to be. And to make a long story short, we sat there for about 10 minutes. I couldn't talk. I could find matzahs that were fit to be served. Good question. That's why I had to go over to another box. Because I said there might be crumbs on the chametz matzah rolling around here. So I went over to the next box, and my luck wasn't any better. So to make a long story short, we had a very eventful time with me at least not able to talk. And I'm sharing this with you. You should just know the matzahs, what you buy, machine matzahs, so that's generally okay. But when you buy hand matzahs, at least here in Israel, the hechsher does not cover the final product. The hechsher covers everything until the final product. Another thing that very often the hechsher does not cover, and this should be well labeled on the box, in my opinion the first thing should be labeled as well, but it isn't. But the second thing usually is labeled is that they did not take off challah. There's a mitzvah to take off challah, and here in Israel you may not eat the matzah unless you have taken off challah. And usually they say, we'll leave you that mitzvah. A lot of people want to make the blessing and take off the challah. So if you buy a sizable amount, they say, we did not take off challah, you could take off challah from this. So you have to do that before Yom Tov. You make a blessing, lafish challah, and you take off the challah. This should be labeled on the box. The first thing is not labeled. They write it in their guidelines in the fine print, and they assume you read it. The second thing is usually on the box, but they didn't take off challah. Yeah, Ari. Ideally, it should be in the baking process. When it comes to matzah, because we're in such a rush, we usually take it off right after it comes out of the oven. The last thing that you'll see when we're there is a tremendous amount of cleanliness. Between each load, they clean all the tables, they clean all the utensils, everything is checked and made sure that it's very, very clean. Yeah?
What is taking off challah?
The Torah gives us a commandment that when we make a sizable amount of dough, more than 2-2.5 kilo of flour, then the Torah gives us a commandment to take off an amount of that dough and give it to the kohen. Today that we are, and that amount is called taking off challah. We have a mitzvah. Many women will, because of this, make larger amounts of challah for Shabbos. That's where the original name of challah comes from, because the original custom was that in honor of Shabbos, women would always bake their own bread. All week long they'd have to purchase bread from a non-Jewish baker, and for an honor of Shabbos they'd make Jewish bread, and when they made Jewish bread they'd try to make an amount that they could take off challah. Friday afternoon Adam sinned, Eve caused Adam to sin. Adam is called the challah of the world, which is a separate discussion. So to speak, to fix that sin, the custom is that on Friday women at least used to bake a sizable amount of bread and take off challah, take off this mitzvah. Now, because we don't have kohen, before taking off that, before taking blessing, amount of dough, we make the blow, one may take it off as bread. There's no minimum amount nowadays. You just take any amount off and you say, this is challah, baruch ta Hashem, ukeidim ha'ach olam, shekei shem, tzatzano, lehafresh challah, we bless God, command us, tzatzano, lehafresh challah, we bless God, command us, take off challah, and then we say, we take off a little piece of dough, and we say, I raise you challah, this is challah, and we burn it, and we discard it in a bag or something. That's the mitzvah of challah.
For example, for starving, what did you think that the soft challah for you, Thomas? What about starving? Soft,
Good question, not for now. Anyone else? I just want you guys to make it for Aviv, yeah? Ari? Yeah? How much do you have to take off for challah? Today there's no shiur. Today the custom is there's no shiur, but you must take off challah before Shabbos and Yom Tov. You cannot take off challah in Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Yeah.
After the bakti, they want one piece for all the other pieces?
Right. No, one piece for all the other pieces if they're in one vessel. We place them in one box in one vessel, and then we take off a little bit for all of them. Yeah. It won't work wearing gloves. No one does it with gloves. Tonight when we go there, everyone should please be careful that their clothing are clean, there should be no crumbs on your clothing, that their beards are clean, that their hair is clean, and don't touch anything unless we get to, they might yell at you. That's their job. They have to be careful. I once walked in with a sandwich and no one yelled at me, and I said, if they're not yelling at me, I'm not buying here. Not to this bakery, but please take care not to bring crumbs with us. We will meet, God willing, at 8:28 by the front doors. At 8:30 we're pulling out of here. Those of you who have not listed, who have not written your names to come tonight, please see me now after class, and if you want to join us. So, and now there's our